John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Professor Stephen F. Cohen is here, New York University, Princeton University, Russian History Emeritus. We're enjoying our conversation about the decision by the President of the United States in a morning tweet to withdraw American forces or start the withdrawal of American forces, not only in Syria, but also in Afghanistan. And this has triggered an unhappy reaction from the foreign policy elite of both parties, all parties. It has also, at some point, invited people to speculate that this is more of Donald Trump being a stooge for Vladimir Putin. They point to the unfortunately not informed remark by the president that the Soviets were in Afghanistan to fight terrorists. I mentioned, Steve, that it is very likely the president meant to say that was why the Soviets were in Chechnya, to fight terrorists. That's the best logic I can have. But in any event, the president was castigated for getting those facts wrong. We're discussing what this means about America's intentions, unstated intentions, to maintain an imperial reach, and how it is that this conflict with Russia will be exacerbated because Russia is filling in the vacuum in the Middle East, in Eurasia, in Eastern Europe, in Ukraine. Russia is the power. Continue, please, Professor.
Let me continue, but give me the forgiveness of disagreeing with you if, in fact, you were agreeing with the generalization you made about Trump's remarks about Afghanistan.
Well, I was trying to guess what he was talking about, and the best guess I had was it was Chechnya.
No, I can help you here.
All right.
He made two statements about Russia indirectly when he was announcing the withdrawal and defending his decision to withdraw the 2,000 Americans from Syria. The first was that Russia had invaded Afghanistan in 1979 because it feared terrorists that were growing out of the Afghan instability. And everybody jumped on him and said that wasn't so. But I am old enough to have followed that momentous decision. We now know, because of archives and memoirs, how the Soviet decision to intervene in Afghanistan in 1979 was made and why. And there was a big dispute about it in the Politburo. But the tough guys, the security guys, wanted it. And their argument was that the Afghan, so we called them freedom fighters back then. You remember?
Yes, I do.
That they were terrorists and that they were going to cross toward Russia through Central Asia. That was part of the argument. And in fact, I think it was the major argument that was used in the internal debate for the invasion. Now, the Soviet leadership may have been wrong about the danger of terrorism in Afghanistan, though it hasn't turned out that way, because purportedly we are there today, 18 years later, fighting the Taliban, which we call a terrorist organization, which grew out of the resistance to the Soviet rule in Afghanistan, correct?
Yes, that was fueled and funded and directed by the CIA. We created the jihadists who fought the Soviets, and one of those jihadists was bin Laden.
All right, so one person's freedom fighter is another person's terrorist. That's the way the Soviet leadership saw it in 1979. The leadership may have been wrong or overreacted or taken the wrong step. But President Trump is not wrong in having said that terrorism in Afghanistan was a factor in the Soviet decision to intervene, invade. He's been derided for saying that. But that's not correct. He's at least significantly correct. I don't know who told him that, but he's not wrong. Where he is wrong and fundamentally wrong is when he began his announcement of withdrawal by saying we, meaning the United States, have destroyed the Islamic State in Syria, and therefore we have no need to be there any longer. That is factually wrong. And you and I were all over this because we've been broadcasting together through these years. In 2015, Putin repeatedly appealed to Obama for an alliance against the Islamic State in Syria, which had achieved something unprecedented in history, statehood. A terrorist organization, ISIS, the Islamic State, had captured enough territory in and controlled enough territory in Syria to create statehood. What do I mean by statehood? I mean, they were collecting taxes, recruiting an army, operating the schools, collecting the garbage. It was an actual terrorist state for the first time in history. And it was a mortal danger to everyone, including Russia. And when Obama and Washington were unwilling to join, this is a matter of record, you could look it up, as Casey Stengel liked to say, when the United States, Obama administration, through some fits and starts, Obama discussed it, he sent then Secretary of State Kerry, you remember, to Moscow, who sat with Putin. Putin thought they had a deal, Kerry thought they had a deal, they came home, Obama had changed his mind. Exasperated, determined to protect what he saw as Russian national security, Putin intervened in September 2015, and in the next 18 months, the Russian Air Force, with its supported fighters on the ground, Syrian, Iranian, and the others, destroyed the Islamic State as a state. It was Russia that did it with its allies, not the United States. The United States played no role in that until, embarrassed, we finally began to bomb those white trucks that were carrying contraband oil. You remember that?
Yes.
From the Islamic State to the Turkish border for revenue. We came in belatedly, reluctantly, helpfully, but very long after the Russians had destroyed the Islamic State as a state. So what's now in Syria, John, as you know, is no longer, quote, the Islamic State, but the jihadists who are affiliated with what was the Islamic State and ISIS, that Trump now says we've defeated. Well, that's a separate issue, but if the Islamic State was defeated as a state, it was Russia that did it. So Trump got Afghanistan partly right and Syria entirely wrong. And that's only important because the people who advise presidents in these situations are overwhelmingly generals. Presidents hire them. They hire them as chief of staffs. They appoint them to the armed forces. And it's clear that Trump is having problems with his generals. And another major complaint, you couldn't have missed this, about his withdrawal of Iran from Syria, is that he didn't listen to his generals. Now, we don't know for sure that's true. We only know that Mattis opposed the withdrawal and the proposed withdrawal from Afghanistan and resigned. But there may be other generals who thought Trump was doing the right thing. We just don't know. But where are we at, I ask myself, in all this criticism of Trump? Is it the premise now, particularly of the Democratic Party, that generals should determine our foreign policy? I remember it was only a few months ago that the Democratic Party believed our intelligence services above anybody else, even though in the past they've been critics of the CIA and the FBI.
Well, now they raise them to iconic status. I add the Democratic allegation that Donald Trump is working in connection with the Kremlin, that these moves of Donald Trump's are sinister. That's a commonplace accusation, Steve, not just that he doesn't listen to the generals and that that's the way forward, but that Russia is the sinister player. It's fantastic to me, Steve, but I see it every night on cable television.
Well, I searched, and I have colleagues who have searched, and none of us can find any evidence for this allegation that Trump committed collusion to get himself elected, which is now being said, not just that they helped him, but they elected him, or in his foreign policy. But the point really here is, to my way of thinking, is that the Russiagate proponents, the never-Trumpists in both parties, and particularly the liberal Democrats, have created in the last year or so a cult of our intelligence agencies and our generals. What happened to the idea that we were a civilian republic? I mean, when did it come up in the minds of the leadership of the Democratic Party? This includes Schumer and Pelosi and the rest, that we should give credence above all to what intelligence services and generals tell us. This, I think, too, is something new. and well, very dangerous.
Well, note, Steve, how Russia is used as the devil. Russia explains everything in their allegations against Donald Trump and his foreign policy. Russia, Russia, Russia. If Russia wasn't present, there'd be nothing to hold all these allegations together. They've turned Russia into something that is unrealistic. I mean, it's fantastic, but they're not offering any way back. In other words, this is a one-way street. Russia is sinister. It must be stopped.
Yeah, but in my day, during the preceding Cold War, let's say from about 1976 to about 1985, when Gorbachev came to power, we also had that Russia's terrible menace. It's behind everything we don't like in the world. We all have to stop Russia, 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 Russia. And yet, John, there were a lot of people in the establishment, in the universities, in the media, who opposed that point of view. They didn't say Russia, the Soviet Union, then was great or good or virtuous. But they said that was a misrepresentation of international politics and that the United States itself had contributed mightily to the Cold War. Today we don't have that. That's what's missing. I don't find that is bash, blame Russia new. That's a recapitulation. What I find new and more alarming is there's no opposition to it. Just because you and I sit here on your national broadcast and say this is a one-eyed view, it's one-dimensional, it's not clear to me that there are many people in positions of authority who share what we discuss and think as we do. This is what's so new and alarming. Normally, there'd be a wing of one party. This was the case in the past. Either the liberal wing of the Republican Party or the more peace-oriented wing of the Democratic Party that would push back against this myopic Russia bashing. There's none of that today. There's only Trump.
And there's
only Trump.
There's the Mueller investigation. We had news today, Steve.
There's another.
They've charged Veselnitskaya, the attorney who was involved in some fantastic scheme about Magnitsky. At the same time, she was a major figure in the meeting at Trump Tower that we're all told was dramatic. And we have more charges against Mr. Manafort as in contact with Russian intelligence. Steve, they're coming up with a narrative that is made of what you'd have to say is incidental information around the edges to create a narrative that can go to Congress, not to a courtroom, to Congress, to condemn Donald Trump as a stooge of Russia. That's what they're developing here.
Well, they've been at it. It's 2 years now since the so-called Steele dossier with lots of this stuff appeared. That dossier has now been widely discredited. And yet the narrative goes on. And why that's the case?
Because there's an auto de fe against Trump. They want him to confess his sins with Vladimir Putin. Otherwise, Steve, without Vladimir Putin, there's no spine to this investigation.
I agree with that. If Brezhnev was the leader of Russia today, it would not be a plausible narrative. They need the demonized Putin alongside Trump to make this narrative they think plausible. But my question is, are they actually going to take it to the country in 2020?
I think they're going to take it to the Congress for a bill of impeachment before 2020 to wear the Trump administration down and present to the American people that Russia is the threat in 2020. When we come back, Steve, I want to talk to you about what we're seeing now as a one-way train, runaway train. And is that true? Is the escalation unstoppable? I'm speaking with Professor Stephen F. Cohen, New York University, Princeton University. This is our first broadcast of 2019. We're measuring the events of these last weeks to show that again and again and again, Russia is the explanation for all the bad things that are happening anywhere in the world. And the U.S. Apparently goes along with this. The U.S. media, the U.S. public, certainly the U.S. government. It is unusual. I'm John Batchelor. This is The John Batchelor Show.
Science fiction author Arthur C. Clarke said, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Remarkable, memorable experiences in modern stadiums, airports, transportation hubs, and smart cities transform public perception. Intelligent digital signs and smart sensors provide the opportunity to impress and amaze while serving the public. Scala, a leading global technology company, powers millions of digital signs around the world. Visit Scala.com today to start the conversation about bringing digital transformation to your modern venue.
I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. I'm enjoying a conversation with Professor Stephen F. Cohen, my friend. His book is War with Russia? It's out now. It's a compendium of Steve's essays over the last 5 years, following our conversations each Tuesday evening on the show about the new Cold War. And a story that was something I remember from the first Cold War has stayed with me, that once the escalation cycle begins, it cannot be turned off. There's no human being who can get in the way. Steve, is that true? And are we in an escalation cycle that will lead to catastrophe?
Yes, I think, and no. We are in a terrible escalation cycle. I hadn't thought to put it that way, but you put it perfectly. But no, it's not too late to stop it. And that's the tragedy of this. The leader of Russia, the leader of the Kremlin, the president of Russia, Putin, wants this to end. He said it a zillion times. He's given evidence that that's what he wants. Just go back, as I referred earlier, to his negotiations, frustrated in the end, with Obama. But it's this new Cold War is completely inconsistent with Putin's historical mission of rebuilding Russia at home. He inherited a ruined, destroyed Russia in the year 2000. And he spent these past almost 20 years pouring funds, pouring energy, building concepts and infrastructures to rebuild Russia. Yes, as a great power in world affairs, that's inevitable. It's the largest country, territorial country in the world. But above all, to rebuild Russia at home. He knows, Putin knows, he said this, people who work for him know this, that he will enter history, Russian history, as a great leader or not, depending on what kind of Russia he leaves behind. He knows that. And all of this new Cold War is a tax of Russian resources, a distraction of his leadership. It undermines what he wants to do. He is ready for Ronald Reagan. I mean, the Reagan who went to Gorbachev in 1985 and said, no one can win a nuclear war. There should be no more nuclear arms race. We should get rid of nuclear weapons. We should end the Cold War. And by chance, history produced a Soviet leader who thought the same way. And 3 years later, Reagan and Gorbachev said they had ended the Cold War. They had ended the arms race. They were wrong, but they gave it a very good run. They thought they had done it, and some of us thought they had done it. Gorbachev now, 80, born 1931, it makes him 87. I saw him not so long ago. He's utterly demoralized by what he thinks he and Reagan, the loss of what he thinks he and Reagan had achieved. Now, I'm not saying Putin is a Gorbachev. These are different leaders at different times. But the wish to end this new Cold War is almost as great with Putin as it was with Gorbachev. But he, as Reagan liked to say, it was primitive, but it was true, it takes two to tango. Putin has no one to tango with. Trump comes forward and says, I will cooperate with you. I see no point in this new Cold War. I want to bring American troops home. I want to make America great again at home. But it turned out that Trump couldn't do it for reasons we know. And it's also the case, I saw this in Moscow when I was there in late November, early December, that the Kremlin, by the Kremlin I mean the top elite of Russian foreign policy makers, not just Putin, are kind of giving up on Trump. They think he can't deliver. I don't mean deliver on collusion. I mean deliver on ending this new Cold War.
We have a minute, Steve. We have a minute.
Say it again, John.
We have 1 minute left.
Let me just leave you with one thought for 1 minute. Everybody says that Trump, by reducing the American forces in Afghanistan and Syria, is giving Putin a gift. I guarantee you, the Russians and Putin are not happy to see those troops go. Why would they want to be left alone facing the Islamic State in Syria or the Taliban in Afghanistan? They don't want the Americans to go. They want the Americans to stay and form an alliance with them. And this was the moment. This was the moment for the American-Russian alliance against terrorism. And once again, it's not happening.
The book is War with Russia? Question mark. It's on Amazon. It is a compendium of Steve's observations of these conversations over 5 years, since the Ukrainian crisis, 2013 to 2014. We're now into a new Cold War that has many fronts. We've discussed Syria tonight, and it's certain to deepen in these next months. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Stephen F. Cohen of New York University. This is the John Batchelor Show.